Are you a bumper sticker person? I don't currently have any bumper stickers on my car, but I admit I do read them. I especially look for those relevant radio bumper stickers. A quick internet search seems to reveal that bumper stickers are still an effective marketing tool. And while many bumper sticker messages pass through my mind as quickly as I pass the car they're on, a few stir up some meditation for me. I'll give you an example coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
It's 11 o'clock Central, which means it's time for an hour of on-air and online spiritual direction right here on Relevant Radio. This is The Inner Life, giving you some hope and inspiration for your faith today. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. One of the bumper sticker messages that sticks in my head is the one that says, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." Have you seen that one? It conjures a number of questions in my mind. First, it's obviously politically minded social commentary, but I find myself asking, for which camp? I mean, I could see both conservatives and progressives asserting the same sentiment, as there seems to be a bottomless well on both sides of things to be angry about. Many news outlets, again, on both sides of the aisle, seem to make their money by making people angry. But another, perhaps more philosophical question that arises in response to the line, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention, is this. Why would someone assume that the only reasonable response to the many ills of our society is anger? There seems to be a pervasive mentality that anger is what gets things changed. If the squeaky wheel gets the grease, I'm not sure we have enough grease to appease the cacophony of squeaks from people who are upset. Who are, yes, outraged, who are angry. There are many things in life on all levels, global, national, local, and personal, that could spark your anger. But is anger the only reasonable response? What does our faith say? Is anger our ally or our enemy? Or does it depend? And if it depends, upon what does it depend? What are the dangers of anger? And what are perhaps more fruitful alternatives? Well, today on the show, we're talking about anger. And joining us as our spiritual director is Father Michael Hurley. Father Michael's a Dominican priest from Pacifica, California, currently serving as the pastor of St. Dominic Parish in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Welcome back to the show, Father Michael. Happy Easter to you.
Christ is risen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed.
Okay. There you go. That's what I was looking for. I'm super excited and peaceful and joyful to talk about anger.
Well, I was going to say, Father, now I've done a number of shows with you now, and my wife and I did have the privilege of meeting you in person on Spy Wednesday. And I've got to say, in all my interactions with you, you do not strike me as an angry person.
No, I think that's probably a good right for people who know me, but I do think there is, and wherever we're going to take the show, I'd be interested to see where the Lord takes us this morning, but I actually think there is a very profitable and spiritually fruitful way to have anger operate in our spiritual life. And in other words, virtue, it doesn't eliminate anger, but directs anger like it does all the emotions. So I'm interested to see where we go in terms of anger. Certainly there's anger which is detrimental, but then there's also anger that can be spiritually fruitful in its way. So anger is misunderstood, but can be both powerful and it can be dangerous.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And I think let's start with the Lord. I mean, it seems like I'm going to set up a little contrast for you here, Father. So let's see how you go with this one. So in Matthew 5, the Lord, of course, he says, you've heard it said that to the men of old, you shall not kill. Whoever kills is liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. Now, that's one end of the spectrum. It seems like there's a just blanket condemnation of anger in general from the Lord. But on the other side of things, we look at his, for instance, classically brought up, is his driving the money changers from the temple, overturning tables, creating this whip of three cords, and one of these things. So it seems like our Lord was angry, too. So what's going on here? How do we deal with that contrast?
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic question. And I think maybe just to step back, I mean, I'll definitely get into the kind of scriptural things, but I think we have to remember just as human beings that anger is simply an emotion. And that is, it's part of being human, means you are happy and sad. You are angry and have, you know, peace and equity of mind and heart. In other words, anger is not good or bad in and of itself, just simply speaking. And in fact, if you were never to get angry, if you'd eliminate anger, you would be somehow less than human. In other words, sometimes we talk about emotions being positive or negative, and that's true to a sense, but they're not morally positive or negative unless there's action, there's intention, and then the will involved. In other words, simply having an emotion rise up in our heart actually is not good or bad, but it is quintessentially and essentially human. So it would be like, you know, if you were, you mean, that's why shows that have, you know, other kinds of, you know, like Star Trek or something where you have Spock, you know, and the whole thing about his emerging, you know, kind of explain his humanness and the emotion that's there. For humans, it's proper for us to have emotion. So the first thing to say about anger, it just in and of itself, is that it's a human emotion. It's good that humans have emotion. And so then the question becomes, and in itself, it's neutral in terms of its moral valence, you know, is it good or bad? It's just a question of, okay, how do we use anger wisely? How does it run through? The way I like to say it is, you've got those cardinal virtues of prudence and justice and temperance and courage or fortitude. And how is it that the emotion is regulated by those in order that we might have an outcome which is truly virtuously human? So our virtue is modulating the emotions, at least moral virtue, in a way that gets us there. So now with that in mind, let's go back to Jesus. So does that make sense? Now we kind of set the stage. Now we go back to Jesus. So Jesus is teaching, and especially with regard to the old law, which is all outcome-based. In other words, in terms of saying, is someone liable or is someone, have they broken the law? You don't have to do any kind of intention. There's no moral valence on intentionality. And this is true today. I mean, I have Jewish friends that basically say, when it comes to judgment, it doesn't matter what the person was thinking or feeling or intending. It's just basically what happened is the most important thing, right, when it comes to ceremonial Jewish law. So Jesus is basically saying, no, there is something deeper than simply just merely the outcome. And that is, what's our intention? In other words, our intention makes a difference. But notice here, he says, he's saying, you know, you shouldn't be killed. Whoever kills is liable to judgment. But he says, anyone who's angry shall be liable to judgment. And whoever insults and says, you fool, and says, Raka, says, will be liable. Now, there, the idea is that you're liable to judgment. In other words, it doesn't say you are judged negatively. You're just liable to judge. In other words, you will be judged on it. And the question is your judgment right or not? In other words, you can't, because Jesus himself says in the parable, let me think about it. It's the parable of the person who is, I'll say it this way. Jesus says, or the oftentimes what people think Jesus says, what's the root of all evil? If I ask you, kind of, what's the root of all evil? Most people will say money is the root of all evil. But that's not strictly speaking true. It's the love of money, which is the root of all evil. So Jesus, telling the parable of the person who finds himself with abundance of grain, he says to himself in his heart, you know what, I'm going to tear down these insufficient granaries and build bigger ones and have all this kind of storehouse, and I can just sit back, kick back, not, you know, care about anything else and just live off the supplies. And Jesus says, and uses his word, he says, you fool. You understand it? Is Jesus liable to judgment there? Absolutely. But is he right? Absolutely. So in other words, being angry and acting is, if you're right about it, if you're, it's a prudent, just, courageous, and temperate response according to the situation, you're liable to judgment, absolutely, but you will be found to be correct in acting in virtue.
Okay. All right. See? Just clearing those things up in the first 15 minutes of the program. I like it, Father. You're on a roll already. I like that. We're talking about anger today on the program. with our spiritual director, Father Michael Hurley. And just the question is out there. I mean, what makes you angry and how do you respond to that anger? How do you deal with anger? How do you make sure that you respond to that anger virtuously? And maybe you have a question about a situation that you're facing about how to respond in that virtuous Christian way to a situation that's making you angry right now. Give us a call. Join the conversation. Love to have you on the line, on the air. 888-914-9149 is our number here on The Inner Life. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. And the number again is 888-914-9149. As always, if you'd prefer, you can send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Okay, Father, so that was a great start. So we are, anger in and of itself is morally neutral, so that's one of the things you asserted. And then the what it comes down to is the judgment that we will face is how do we deal with that anger? Do we deal with it virtuously, or do we just kind of let the emotion dictate? I assume that's the opposite end of the spectrum, yeah? We let the emotion just dictate our actions.
Absolutely. So who's in control? So, right, the classic Thomistic response is, what's controlling is right reason and, you know, love of God and neighbor. So our mind and our heart, are they in charge? And the anger is, in a sense, feeding the mind and the heart to act, you know, prudently, justly, temperately, and courageously. Or is all of a sudden anger in charge and everything else can just go out the window? And now you're just the kind of, if you almost blind, that's what you use, you know, descriptors like blindly, or, you know, with white hot anger and the boiling of the blood around the heart. And basically where our emotion is driving and not reason and will, which is kind of fired by the anger.
Right. Okay, very good. All right, well, let's further from the Lord. Of course, he instructs us to turn the other cheek to those who would strike us and strike us. And so what is that all about? And is that a virtuous then response? And what does that mean? Because, you know, we've had numerous spiritual directors on the program in the past saying that, well, that doesn't mean that we just kind of lie down and let people walk all over us. But so what is the Lord really, what is he adjuring us to do in that situation?
Yeah, no, once again, it's an excellent question, because I think, and this is going to be, you know, any audience, you want to stress different things, right? And I think perhaps for an audience like we might have today, we lead with the idea of loving others, which is 100% true, but there's a way in which a love which can is easily misinterpreted as just enabling someone else's bad behavior,
right.
or just putting up with it because we fear, in other words, there's a fear of conflict, or a fear that we, you know, things might be uncomfortable, right? In other words, we'd rather be uncomfortable and let someone walk over us rather than face the uncomfortability of calling someone on their bad behavior, which it could be helpful for them, but it's going to be difficult for us. So what we might call tough love. There's a beautiful line in John, in the letters of St. John, where he says, you know, talking about love and how to love one another, the goddess of love. And St. Augustine, a very famous passage that is once again often not misquoted, but often misused in its quotation, says, love and then do what you will. Love and do whatever you will. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard folks use that to say, to justify bad behavior, or especially their own kind of moral behavior, you know, if it goes against what the church tells us. Like, as long as I love, taken in the sense of I have some kind of right intention, I can do whatever I want. Well, if you actually look at the original context, St. Augustine is asking about corporal punishment for children vis-a-vis parents. He says, should you discipline your children? And he goes through this whole thing and says, yes, the most loving thing you can do is correct them. And sometimes that correction comes from anger. And that anger is not, you're not angry with your child, you're angry with the outcome of your child. And if your child is getting close to the edge of the precipice, either physically, morally, or spiritually, you're upset, right? And you try to guide them back into, the right way. And so he says, love and do what you will. In other words, pull out the ruler in a sense and sure. Corporal punishment. Now I'm not saying St. Augustine is necessarily the go-to person for corporal punishment in the modern age. But what I am saying is that a love which is corrective, a love which is fueled by what we might just call it justified anger, an anger which has concern for the well-being of the other person in mind,
even if it risks them being upset at us, and even if it no doubt entails us being uncomfortable in doing it, that is a real anger. That's why the Lord gives us the emotion of anger, to overcome the uncomfortability it takes in order to confront well.
Okay. All right. Very good. I think you're absolutely right on to call in the analogy of the parent and the child in that situation, because you know, it might be love that is guiding your action, and your anger at, yes, like you said, the danger that is confronting your child based on his or her choices. And yeah, it seems to make a lot of sense to me. It's helping us to put together how love and anger can coexist, and actually love can continue to virtuously fuel our response to anger. Talking today about anger on the program, the number to call if you'd like to get in with Father Michael Hurley, our spiritual director today, is 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones, Father. Let's take a call from Vince, calling in from Merrillville, Indiana. Vince, welcome.
Good morning, guys. You guys already started talking about kids and anger. And now, just listening to what Father said, my question's already partially answered. I've got three teenage kids. I find myself angry about 90% of the time. But I think what you just said about, I think maybe the issue that a lot of us parents might have is that instead of getting angry at the act, I think, at least I can speak for myself, I get angry with the kid. And then they can sense that I'm angry with them, and then they're far less likely to listen to me. So does that sound right to you?
Absolutely, Vince. I think you put your finger on it, and you having the experience, I would go with that. Yeah, no, I think you're right to say, because you can, how to put, kids will let you know too, in terms of even if they're upset about it, they can, if you will, feel or intuit the distinction between you're being upset at whatever the outcome or whatever the action is versus upset with them, so to speak, in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's right. And Vince, did you have any specific situations or follow up with that you were thinking about that were running through your head?
Well, just, you know, you got to study for your exams, you know, you gotta take care of yourself physically. I think parents get worn down when they say the same thing over and over and it's not heeded. And then, you know, you're not real angry the first time. You're not really angry the second time. And then you get real angry the third time. And then you probably, I can't speak for other people, but I wonder, how do you try to stay angry at the act, but not the kid?
Yeah.
It is an excellent question. And I think just in terms of kind of that communication, it's basically reinforcing that, being articulate about that. That's what you're upset about. In other words, you can let in, and sometimes if there's, I don't know, in terms of teenage kids, whatever, there's the carrot and the stick, so to speak. So in using both in a kind of prudential way, if there's some kind of like, oh, if you're studying for the test, then maybe there's some kind of, I don't say reward, or there, you know, kind of a goal or treat that's at the end of it. Or if you don't do this, this is what's, you know, perhaps going to be diminished in your life. But in every way, it's not towards who they are, but what they're doing. And in a sense, I can say for myself, whenever I get the sense that someone's coming there, someone else is giving me their perspective. In other words, someone who says, you know what, I was in a similar situation you were in. In other words, you can call upon your own teenage years if they're applicable and say, it's not so long ago since, yeah. I know what you're hearing, and this is the way to go. I'm telling you, this is where this ends, so to speak, in that way. But not be afraid. And here's the thing: anger is, even in its best use, Eddie, because you're talking about getting worn down, Vince. Anger isn't meant to be something that ultimately fires us each and every day. There's a limited potency to it, if you will. And so, even just kind of picking your battles on what encourage anger makes when you do get angry or show that more effective. So anger is like it's like salt, if you will. You can definitely easily oversalt, but you have to have a little bit from time to time as well.
I like that. Very good. Hey Vince, thanks for the great call, and God bless you, man, as you continue on living that life of a father. I think that's obviously it's a very high calling, but I can understand the day-to-day is is sometimes a struggle. We're talking about anger today on the program. Is there something that makes you angry? And how do you respond to that in a virtuous Christian way? 888-914-9149. Let's take another phone call here before we go to break. Claire is calling in from Traverse City, Michigan. Claire, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great show. Just wanted to share that I have a master's degree in mental health counseling, so I work in the mental health field. And I can definitely sense times when I feel angry about, I think, a patient is being misdiagnosed or not treated with respect and dignity that they deserve. So, you know, I've had to learn to just be proactive and articulate clearly what I'm seeing and the patient's rights, you know. And sometimes, you know, other professionals, colleagues, they don't want to hear what I'm having to say. I'll just give you a brief example. I was working in an acute care psychiatric unit, and a patient came up to me and said, Claire, would you please bring me a Bible? And they're supposed to have access to this stuff, but for whatever reasons, they were all locked and put away. And so I had to challenge that, you know, and saying, you know what, this isn't right. This is, and the patient literally said to me, this is what helps me the most. So I just, you know, you can get angry about this stuff, but I do think we have to be courageous and get involved. I'm also, you know, actually going to be hopefully getting involved with some legislation and other things regarding this. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful, Claire. Then that's, I mean, so if I understand you right, you just access to the Bible and to spiritual things is not take it, that you have to fight for that, it sounds like.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I had a coworker make fun of a patient who was praying a rosary. And I just could not sit there and be silent. I said, you know what? That's their right. That's what helps them calm down and focus. And it can make things very uncomfortable.
Oh, no, Claire, God bless. That's such good. And you know why? I mean, I don't have to tell you, but just maybe for our audience, the experience I've had as a priest in contexts like that is that the devil is a bully. And if someone has physical limitations of mind or choice, he's just bully. And so there's often a spiritual component that can also kind of cloud the situation when there's mental health challenges as well. Not always, I'm not saying that, but there can be. And so to be able to have that kind of spiritual resource is so tremendous. So God bless you, Claire. Keep going. That's a worthy fight, worthy to get, if you will, upset or use that anger to bring about the Lord's light in those places.
Amen. Amen. Sounds like the anger that you have, Claire, is tempered by a good deal of fortitude, yes, but also of temperance and prudence as well. So thank you so much. Appreciate that, Claire, for the phone call. Talking about anger today here on the program, do you have a question about how to have a Christian response to anger, how to virtuously respond to anger? Maybe you know somebody who deals with anger really well and you'd like to give them a shout out and know how they deal virtuously with anger. Give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our email address, if you'd prefer, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Going into our first break, but we got more of the conversation on anger with Father Michael Hurley coming up right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
You better think about what you're saying.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley on Relevant Radio.
You better think about what's trying.
Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. A little Aretha Franklin there for you. We are talking today about anger. Yeah, you better think about what you're trying to do to me. That's what we are talking about today. Anger and how it's how we can respond to it in a Christ-like way in our lives. Continuing to show the love of Christ through a virtuous response to anger. Our spiritual director today is Father Michael Hurley. Father, one of the things that that comes up in my thoughts here is that, you know, we read about Scripture has plenty of examples of when it's claiming anyway that God is angry or that God has wrath and that sort of thing. And but that's not, I mean, I'm asking a Dominican. I understand this. So we can't import our own understanding of the emotion of anger, much less the kind of letting the passion of anger kind of dictate our actions. We can't allow that in when we're looking at God. So how do we view God being angry? I mean, what does that mean for us?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. And I think we actually have to distinguish, certainly when we're talking about anything about God, God does not have emotions the same way we do. So it's all going to be analogous kind of naming. So in other words, the goodness of what in human beings would be the outcome of rightly ordered emotion is going to be God is going to have in its perfection without that, right? So we don't, in other words, God doesn't need to get upset in order for him to act justly. Whereas there are times that in order for justice to happen or in order to be courageous, we have to that anger has to be marshaled or at least engaged with. And so we when times in the Old Testament where there's anger shown by God the Father, or there's that sense of God angry, that's in a sense the human way of describing God working in a way of justice or in a way of if you will, divine kind of prudence or courage in order to stand up to whatever evil is being perpetrated either by his own people to try to be course corrective or by someone who's looking to thwart his plan to the chosen people. So that's on the one side. On the other hand, though, there is something I think, and this is the wonderful revelation and the great mystery of the incarnation, is that God took the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, took a human, a full human nature to himself. And so God, Jesus, what we talk about, these were, you know, certainly thought out by the church. Does Jesus have a human will? Does he have human emotions? Does he have the fullness of human nature? Or does he just have a kind of, I don't know, diminished set of human properties? There were all kinds of heresies that try to trim away some of the humanity of Christ from time to time. But the church ultimately settles through the ages and has always said that Jesus was fully human. So Jesus getting angry is not simply in a kind of an analogous way that we would talk about God. Mm-hmm. God truly, in the same way we can say God died or God, you know, had any of the kind of human properties in uniting his humanity to himself, really did get angry. In other words, God in Christ did get angry. And so I think there's something tremendously, tremendously spiritually valuable about that we often overlook. I guess I might be overstating it for the sake of emphasis, but there is something tremendously valuable about not thinking that anger is bad simply because it's a quote unquote negative emotion, but recognizing the specific times Jesus gets angry does give us insight into how we might marshal our own anger and the kinds of things that are worth getting angry about and the occasions for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reason why my mind goes there, I think, is because it's important to get this. I think it's important to get it right in terms of because we can if we import, which we do all the time. Right. But we import our own experiences of these emotions and oftentimes the negative ways in which we have responded to them, not dealing with them virtuously, as you were saying, Father, but letting the passions dictate our actions. And then that can warp our image of God. And so when we read scripture passages of God being angry, I start to cower. You know, I start to think, well, you know, he's ready to just eject me out of, he has, you know, it reduces my sense of God's undying love for me. I think that's what I'm saying.
That's interesting. Yeah. So, and I guess I certainly understand that. I think that's usually our first response. It's a natural response. But I guess my point is, if we step beyond that, to wonder, okay, you know, certainly love has that sense of being encouraging and, you know, embracing. But there's a part of love which which, I mean, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Burns,
we should set us in a sense of it's possible for ourselves to separate us from God. And when we begin the first little movements of separation, that's when we're going to have the anger of God expressed, because God's like, no, don't turn around. Don't head on down the wrong way. And so that anger is there. And so if we feel that, that's like a guilty, like the conscience that begins to feel the twinge of guilt, that's not necessarily a positive moment, but it truly is. It's a loving moment. It's a moment that hopefully keeps us. It's not the only thing, but it's the first beginning of course correction, or at least not going down the wrong way. So there's something tremendously valuable that if we just see anger as being somehow marginalized in the scripture, and especially in the life of Christ, that we lose. There's tremendous loss if we don't take seriously anger. And so I get upset when anger is marginalized.
Right. Got it. Okay. Very good. No, I like it. It's right. But I mean, drilling down into this is always fun. And we're doing it today with a Dominican priest, Father Michael Hurley, who's helping us understand anger and how we deal virtuously with anger in our own lives. Let's go back to the phones, Father. We've got Cliff calling in from Huntley, Illinois. Cliff, good morning. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Good morning. I was thinking that the flames of my anger are many times ignited by my frustration. And an example is just the other day I was trying to get a nut off of a bolt, and it was frozen on there. And the more I tried, of course, the more angry I got, because I was frustrated that I couldn't get this nut off. And so it got to the point where I was ready to take a crowbar and just, you know, rip it apart. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute, there's another way to do this. And so I got some WD-40, sprayed it on there, went away and did other things, came back the next day, and guess what? The nut came right off.
Wow.
So it was, you have to evaluate, you know, where's your anger coming from? Why are you angry? What can you do to get rid of the anger? So approach the problem in a different way, and it cool the anger right off.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful parable.
It is.
A personal experience and a great parable, the turning of the stuck nut there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's well, I'm right there with you, Cliff, first of all, in saying that anger is ignited by frustration. Yes. Frustrating situations, but that's just it. It sounds like, you know, Cliff was trying to use brute force, which was maybe a good analogy of of letting the passions dictate our actions, right? Rather than, let's involve the intellect, which is exactly what you turn to, Cliff, and saying, all right, wait a minute, what's reasonable here? Got out the old WD-40 and it did what it always does, right? It is loosening that nut right off the bolt. So great call, Cliff. Great parable. And I'm going to keep that one in mind for days, weeks to come when I'm facing anger. Yep, that's very good. I like it. Father, we've had an email come in. This question comes from Mary, who writes, how can we use anger and frustration with God's will productively? So, yeah, if we're angry with God, and maybe specifically God's will playing itself out in our own lives, how can we use that productively?
Yeah, no, once again, it's an excellent question. And I think just the first thing to say is that it's possible to be used productively. I think one of the biggest impediments to not being able to use anger productively is we think we need to get rid of the anger in order to move forward. And it may be, just like Chris said, maybe we do need a little bit of a cooling off time. Maybe we need to approach it rationally. Absolutely. But we also have to ask ourselves, what's the source of that upset? And sometimes we're upset at God. And so when someone says, oh, I'm upset at God, I'm really, really furious with God. And I was like, you know who else has been furious with God? A lot of saints.
Yeah.
You know who else has been furious, upset at God or frustrated by God? David. And he penned some beautiful, inspired literature we know as the Psalms. He was so upset, he put it to music, to both to calm his heart, but also to make it a prayer. Now it's a prayer that is a religious, we chant, you know, every day, as when there's some angry psalms where David or the psalmist is upset because he sees those who are, he purports as evil, flourishing, and those who, like himself, want to follow the will of God seeing them not be successful.
Yeah, right? How long, oh Lord, right? Yeah.
How long, oh Lord, exactly. What's going on here? You know, to quote the very famous, you know, Saint Teresa, you know, if this isn't how you treat your friends, as she's, you know, wallowing in the mud, we've been thrown off. No wonder you have so few of them, you know what I mean? So that's true, frustrating, that's true. But it's also a line of communication. So in other words, sometimes anger and frustration, and it's specifically frustration when we're frustrated, can often keep us from communicating. It should never, but it can be actually, I think, a good bridge of a fruitful opening the conversation with the Lord to ask, what is your will? In other words, the Lord sometimes allows us to stumble. And when we stumble and we work that out in prayer and we bring it to the Lord, the result of that can often be, hey, I've got more for you. I've got better for you. It's my usual prayer thing. You know, it's kind of like the Lord either says yes, which is great. He says, no, but the no is usually either a wait or I've got something better for you, right?
Yeah,
so that frustration can be the way in which we discover the patience of waiting, or the more that it takes time, or hey, I've got more for you, so don't give up on it yet. But the anger, and bringing the anger to the Lord, doesn't end the conversation. It helps to redirect the conversation, if you will.
Yep. Love that. And keep the lines of communication open, Mary, even if it's words that are in anger. I remember, in my own life, some of the most potent times that I've sensed the Lord speaking to me directly are when, I let him have it, but let him have it, you know. And I, in other words, I got angry and I expressed my anger. I acknowledged, this is where I am, Lord, in this. And the Lord just patiently dealt with me, but he spoke to me as well. So, Mary, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for emailing in. Let's go now to Joel calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Joel, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Father, thanks for talking about this. I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. I remember reading the Greek fathers talking about how anger isn't just tolerable, but it's necessary to the life of virtue. You can't pursue good effectively if there's not a genuine hatred of evil. Hatred of idiocy or hatred of darkness.
Okay.
No, absolutely, Joel. Is there something in your life or some experience, or at least in your own studies, that you think has been fruitful for having that be a reality for you?
So for me, different manifestations of idiocy have driven me to anger. And in my experience, that often intensifies my pursuit of the truth. Especially for the male heart, it's very possible to be angry with someone and despise their evil, but channel it in such a way that the ultimate fruit is charity. Confrontation and conflict, I think, are human realities that men should learn how to navigate well and not hide from in the Christian life. Yelling at someone, you know, having to, even physical confrontation can be necessary in the pursuit of good and the fight against evil. And I think it's important that we learn how to do that as virtuous men, as opposed to lying to ourselves that it's a sin to engage in that in any way.
Mm. Absolutely. No, well said. and the fact that our Lord does it, I think, in different contexts and different ways really highlights that for us, too. So, no, you're right on the money.
I just got to say, I'm chuckling, Joel, because I'm thinking when you said manifestations of idiocy, I'm thinking how many times the Lord must have been in that exact situation. I mean, well, always, of course, he still sees it, but I mean, in his incarnate walking around in the hills of Palestine, I can only imagine that there were a number of face palms there. All right. Well, I get it, Joel. Thank you so much for the call and some good insight into anger, which is what we're talking about today. How to deal virtuously and well when anger strikes, because anger does come to us all. And as Father's already said, if we don't get angry, we're probably less than human. So need to acknowledge that anger comes. But just how do we deal with it then? Do we deal with it virtuously? Or do we let the anger dictate our actions? Give us a call and join the conversation, 888-914-9149. Maybe there's a situation that you're facing that you need a little advice on. It's making you angry. 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to be back with more of the conversation right on the other side of this break. Hope you can stay with us. We'll be right back. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's 2-week-long Arete program, while earning 3 hours of college credit. info@relevantradio.com/udallas.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days.
Days like that when we get angry. That's what we're talking about here on the show today. Welcome back to The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sentovich, our producer. Patrick Alog taking your phone calls today. And hey, I started off the program speaking about bumper stickers and I look especially for those Relevant Radio bumper stickers. Well, if you love Relevant Radio, hey, why not support our mission by becoming a parish ambassador? With support from Relevant Radio, including some bumper stickers we'll send you, you'll share information about our shows, promotional opportunities, our free mobile app, and much more. It only takes about an hour a month, so that's the investment that you can make as a parish ambassador. You can sign up to be a parish ambassador now at relevantradio.com/ambassador. Again, that's relevantradio.com/ambassador. So we are talking, as I said, about anger today here on the program. Father, another email has come in, and this is from Amy, who writes, I have a question about anger and want to know how to manage my anger when I have a husband who undermines my ability to co-parent our children. And in fact, she says, now he's turned some of them completely against me and given them permission to be disrespectful to me. She says, I've tried to talk to him, but he refuses to talk to me. Wow, tough situation. Any thoughts?
Yeah, no, that is a difficult situation because anytime someone's not even willing to talk about the situation, that's where you might, how do you go forward? I mean, it's a sense where the natural inclination I have would be if the children themselves can reflect to him. And I obviously not knowing the dynamic, or in other words, just in general, you have to get a third party that helps them. In other words, if there is, sometimes we're not the best person to let the other person know when they're not, you know, when their behavior is not good. And even though we're the recipient of that bad behavior, the person's going to be defensive and not hear it. My first instinct is there anyone else that you know that would be sympathetic to that he might listen to? That would give him the capacity to at least reevaluate or reconsider that. But that's a very difficult situation, Amy, and we'll certainly be praying for you there.
Yeah, you do have our prayers, Amy. And hopefully that can be a course of action for you. And we'll uphold you in our prayers. That is tough, and it's hard when we face that sort of strife in our own very own household. So we're talking about anger today and how we can deal virtuously and in specific situations, just like Amy's, how you can deal virtuously with anger that comes up in your life. Let's go down to Mary calling in from Indianapolis, Indiana, a new market for Relevant Radio. Mary, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. So I just had a question. My husband and I, we were having a kind of a deep dive conversation last night, in fact, and we're talking about trust, and we've been married 39 years, and I said, I really do trust you, like, in every area, except I am concerned about the area of what you view on TV, or, you know, are you tempted to view pornography? I mean, he got really upset with me and said, I've never done anything, you know, to I think why you would think that. And I said, well, like, if you live in the 21st century, I mean, everyone is tempted in some way. And he just seemed really angry that I even brought it up. Mm. And so part of me was like, well, am I tapping into something that, you know, at some level he may not want me to talk about? Or is it truly that he's given me no reason because he is such a great husband and father and all that. Or is it just, it seemed like that conversation was off limits. And I was like, well, I don't know. I think we should be able to talk about this. So anyway, I just wonder how I can respond to that anger in the most appropriate truthful way.
Yeah, no, I think he kind of did well to obviously notice it, but also I think especially when it comes to you're so right. I mean, you can't you can't be, well, men or women, but especially particularly for guys, a guy and not being bombarded by, you know, all kinds of, you know, sexual images and things like that, even if you're not, you know, particularly looking for them. So it could be that it's just a, since it's a very kind of sensitive thing, and since, I mean, it could be just an expression of the inner struggle that every man has, right? Being able to be temperate in that area, right? So even if he hasn't done anything in his mind that's kind of violated the kind of his own sexual integrity and his relationship with you, the very struggle itself can be a source of, I don't know, embarrassment. The guys can feel like, you know, even in the struggle that we're not, even if we're struggling and being more or less successful, the fact that we have to struggle, we think is, you know, like if we were just stronger, we wouldn't have to struggle with it. Does that make sense? In other words, if we were truly virtuous, it would be, you know, like we'd have that grace that Thomas Aquinas himself had to never be troubled by it again, right? So the fact that there's trouble is can be a kind of sensitive situation where we're like, you know, how could you think that? Or we get defensive in that way. So it could be just the expression of the kind of, I think, a very natural defensiveness that any guy who truly takes it seriously, I would take in some sense, it might be a good sign that he takes it seriously enough for it to matter. It would be more concerning if he's like, oh yeah, that's not a big issue at all or anything like that. It's like, well, maybe that's not the truth of the reality. It's like a couple who said, when I asked them and I'm doing marriage prep, and they're like, I'm like, so tell me a time that you've fought, you've got angry. And if they say, oh, we've never been angry with each other. We never had a fight. And I think, okay, either they haven't, you know, they haven't known each other long enough, or they're not really facing, they're not really facing issues, right?
Yeah.
So it could be that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that call, Mary. I'll just share with you one of the things that in that just the reality of the situation that, as Father said, every man faces. One of the things, my wife and I were driving down the road together, and we passed a billboard that had a scantily clad woman on it. And she took one look at the billboard and then turned to me and said, it must be really hard to be a guy in today's world. And that meant so much to me that she would be able to see that, because just like Father said, yeah, it can be a constant struggle. It's like you constantly have to be on guard, and there's not even really a place to get away from that. And so maybe it was just that, and maybe you're free to use that line. And it was just meant a lot to me that she was able to step into that fray just for a moment, or at least imagine how tough it is. So, Mary, thank you so much. Thank you for the phone call, and God bless you. Our prayers are with you as you continue to seek to be a good and supportive, loving spouse. Thank you for that. Father, I heard mention of something that I wanted to give you some time to talk about, the so-called Furious Mysteries of the Rosary. Is that right? Have I got that right?
You do, and maybe it's for another. Maybe we can do a part two on anger, how to pray through anger, and how to pray with the Lord's anger. But it's basically the idea that I was talking about before, that I think you even encouraged folks maybe to call and to give an example of people in their lives who seem to have a real virtue or skill in being able to be angry and use it well, marshaled the emotion in order to use it virtuously. And of course, the person I know best who was able to do this was our Lord himself, when you actually begin to think about it, there's more than, you mentioned the cleansing of the temple earlier, but there's actually many, many times in scripture where Jesus either expresses frustration or anger or acts inaccordingly, or tells a parable that's certainly referencing himself and his Heavenly Father as doing things that are motivated by that emotion. And so I think there's a real helpful way of considering that. Those are the Dominican, I pray, you know, we pray the rosary every day, and maybe this is once again a larger topic, but I tend to like to keep it fresh when it comes to the meditations of the mystery. So I'll come up inspired by Saint Pope John Paul II, who introduced the luminous mysteries as a way of furthering our contemplation of the gospel. Yeah. I thought, well, what are those times in the scripture where Jesus gets angry? So I'll just quickly just mention a few of them.
Sure.
We can go to, and it's the first one is the cleansing of the temple. Which is especially the Jonine, which begins. So it's, in other words, he's cleansing the temple, and then it kind of culminates, or at least in Luke's gospel, with the cursing of the fig tree. So you've got got the cleansing of the temple and then the cursing of the fig tree. So temple worship has been subverted. In other words, the people that God has chosen is not bearing fruit. So God is angry when he gifts us and we don't bear fruit. So that's kind of that's the first thing. And the second is the, and this is, I've changed the order in years, but where I currently am, and I should probably write, because everyone's like, you should publish something, and maybe I will one of these days, but is the get behind me, Satan, where Jesus has just entrusted the keys to Peter, and then he says, oh, Lord, let's reconsider the crucifixion thing. The Lord says, get behind me. So, and he says, you are a stumbling block, and the great, literally a scandal to me. In other words, if we avoid the suffering that purifies and that sanctifies, we are a scandal. So the Lord is upset at scandal. Scandal, specifically speaking, is causing others to stumble where they are blocked from the goodness of God in that way. And then you have the woes, the condemnation of the gospel. You have God's upset at death in Lazarus. And then you got the separation of the sheep and the goats. So there are, and there's many more, but there's lots of times which the Lord gets angry and it helps us to be able to live virtuously.
Amazing. Oh, Father, this has been one of those shows I wish we had more time, but unfortunately we are out. So may we have a blessing from you, please.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord indeed give you peace of mind and heart and direct you in all of your ways. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking about prayer with our spiritual director, Father Sam Martin. Coming up next, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with our celebrant, Father Matthew Seminar. Stay tuned for that. Until next time, friends, grace and peace.